Jewish audio on Chabad.org.
We're learning about Shavuos. We're learning about the day that Hashem gave the Jewish people the Torah. And we have a little confusion with this date. We're having a debate about the date. We're not sure which day God gave the Torah to the Jewish people. Here's what we do know for sure. We know it was Shabbos. We know that. We know it was 49 days after they left Mitzrayim. We know it was on the 50th day. What we don't know is which day of the month it was. And why don't we know which day of the month it was? Because we have a dispute. We have a machlekes between Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim. The dispute is, how long was Iyar? Was it 29 days? Or was it 30 days? And when if it's 29 or 30 days, that makes all the difference as to when Sivan begins. So if Iyar was 30 days, that means Rosh Chodesh Sivan was a day later. And then the Torah was given on the sixth day of Sivan. This is the opinion of the sages. They say Rosh Chodesh was on Monday. According to the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, the Torah was given to the Jewish people on Shabbos, but Rosh Chodesh was on Sunday, because Iyar was only 29 days. And because Iyar is only 29 days, and since Rosh Chodesh is on Sunday, and since Shabbat the Torah is given, it ends up being not on the sixth day of Nisan, but on the seventh day of Nisan. Now this is a little challenging, because when we follow the Torah's account of the preparation for the giving of the Torah, there does not seem to be 3 days of preparation. There seems to be only 2 days of preparation. So Rabbi Yossi told us that, well, Moshe Rabbeinu was initially told that God would give the Torah on the third day after 2 days of preparation, but in fact, Moshe elected to add a day. And since Moshe added a day, the Torah was actually given on the fourth day. In other words, after 3 days had already passed us by, which was Shabbat. So Rosh Chodesh was on Sunday, no action on Sunday, quiet day. Moshe goes up Monday morning, comes down, gives the people a message, goes back up on Tuesday, gets the message that the people should prepare. The people are supposed to prepare for Wednesday and Thursday, and Torah is supposed to be given on Friday. And Moshe Rabbeinu delays, if you will. He delays the giving of the Torah. And he says the people should prepare for another day. And that was the discussion of our previous classes. Where in heaven did Moshe get this idea from? If God didn't tell him that, why didn't Moshe decide that? And we said there was three things that Moshe Rabbeinu was so in tune with the will of God that by his own volition he was able to understand and intuit what Hashem would have wanted. And so he added this third day and the Torah was given on Shabbos. And we ended up discussing. We spent two classes discussing the things that Moshe Rabbeinu did on his own and why he would do things on his own volition, what the meaning of that is. And our Gemara now returns to the original question. On Daf Pei Zayin, on page 87, side A, Amud Aleph. And the Gemara says, Toshma. Toshma is a euphemistic expression. It literally translates as come and hear. We would say in the modern syntax, listen up, buddy, or let's talk. So let's talk, says the Gemara. Let's take a look at the subject. Let's go back to the subject at hand. Let's discuss the subject. Let's see if, in fact, this is correct or incorrect. Let's see how this works out. Toshma, says the Gemara. And the Gemara begins now with a quote of a pasuk. The quotation of the verse comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 19, verse 11. It's in Parshas Yisro. We're hearing now about the Jewish people being told to be ready. They should be in a state of readiness for the giving of the Torah. In the 11th verse of that chapter, it is stated, and I quote now, V'hayu nechonim liyom hashlishi. You should be ready for the third day. Now, be ready for the third day means that when was the Torah given? After how many days of preparation? If the Torah is being given on the third day, how many days of preparation were there? 2 days. Day one we prepared, day two we prepared, day three the Torah gets given. So the Gemara says, hey, we have a pasuk, we have a verse. Rabbi Yossi can argue with the verse. You can't fight the scripture. You have a verse. You have an actual pasuk. The pasuk says clearly in verse 11, "Vayu nechonim liyom hashlishi." Be ready, because on the third day Hashem is going to give you the Torah. So if the Yom HaShlishi, there was only 2 days of preparation, and if there's 2 days of preparation, and on the third day God's giving the Torah, and Rabbi Yossi comes along and says, no, God give a Torah on the third, not on the third day, but on the fourth day, because there were 3 days of preparation, then the obvious question that we have for ourselves is, this doesn't fit with the verse. Rabbi Yossi can't argue with a verse. There's a pasuk in the Torah. So the Gemara says, Kasha l'Rabbi Yossi. This becomes a big question for Rabbi Yossi. How does Rabbi Yossi explain that verse? Let me now share with you the words of Rashi. It's on the inside of the Hebrew page, in the small letters that you may not be able to read, but I'll read it for you anyway. Ve'yunachenim le'yem ha'shlishi, says Rashi, v'leigar sinin ve'yunachenim l'shleishas yamim, which is a different verse actually. Rashi says, no, we're talking about verse 11. Verse 11, not 3 days, be ready for 3 days, because that could be construed or understood as 3 days of preparation. But when it says, Ve'yu nechonim liyom ha'shlishi, on the third day he comes, that means there was 2 days of preparation, Wednesday and Thursday preparation, Friday he comes. Now that doesn't work for Rabbi Yossi, because of Rosh Chodesh is Sunday, and his preparation is Wednesday and Thursday, we're off. But not only are we off, we're off on all levels we're off. It'll be the wrong day of the week. It's not what Rabbi Yossi said. Everybody agreed the Torah was given on Shabbos. Rabbi Yossi said it was given after 3 days of preparation. So how do you square this? How do you work that out? So the Gemara says, I don't understand your question. Are you for real? That's a question. You're asking me a question. How could it be that Rabbi Yossi said that the Torah was given after 3 days of preparation when the scripture, when the verse itself says that on the third day God will give the Torah? That's a question, says the Gemara. Ha'amrinan, don't you remember? We said, Yom Echad Hosif Moshe Midato. There was one day that Moshe Rabbeinu added by his own volition. In other words, the Gemara says, what do you think, were you kidding or something about this third day? You think we're joking about Moshe Rabbeinu adding a day? We said that Moshe Rabbeinu added a date. It's not what God told him originally. Originally, God said to Moshe, I'm going to give the Torah on the third day. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, we're going to prepare for 3 days. God will give the Torah on the fourth day. What did God say? Very nice. I like. No problem. Hiskim al yodei, said the Gemara. He agreed with him. God was pleased with Moshe's decision. He was pleased with the initiative that Moshe Rabbeinu took. But hey, in the scripture, on plan A, it was going to be Ve'yu nechonim, it was going to be when? L'yom HaShlishi. In other words, this is not a question. That's exactly the point. You're coming along with this powerful, profound query. How could Rabbi Yossi say something which seems to fly in the face of the words of the Torah? The Gemara says back, that's what I've been telling you for the last half a page. That's exactly the point. That the Torah was supposed to be given on the third day, and Moshe Rabbeinu was able to deflect or push it forward, adding another day of preparation, so that the experience should be a more profound one, more meaningful one, a more touching one, a more elevating one, and a more lasting one. And the more they would prepare, the better the impact of Matan Torah for posterity. Okay, so the Gemara gives up on this one pretty quickly. Posed the question, shot back an answer. Oh, said, oh, okay. Now that you explained it, no problem. Okay, I'm good. Comes along the Gemara and says, well, then let me ask you another question. Let me ask you a question on the opinion of the Chachamim. We shouldn't leave the Chachamim alone. We're giving Rabbi Yossi a hard time. What about the Chachamim? Everything that he says is right. That also doesn't seem to jibe. Doesn't seem to square with the story. The Gemara says, Toshma, come and listen. And this is a quote of a Braisa. A Braisa is a collection of teachings from our sages that for one reason or another were not inducted into the body of the Mishnah. That doesn't mean that they're not right. It doesn't mean they don't have integrity. They are correct Mishnais, they are correct teachings. But for whatever reason, Rabbi Huida Hanasi made the decision not to bring this into the body of the Mishnah. This was preserved in a codicil to the Mishnah, a secondary document which is known as Tosefta. And there are a number of Toseftot, and these are the proper Braitot, the proper teachings, correct teachings, accurate teachings, but for whatever reason were not included in the body of Mishnah. So the Gemara is, of course, comprised of many of these brisot. They ask questions. You come along and say, well, you say such and such. How does that work with a brisa? How does that fit with another teaching, a correct teaching, which we have, which seems to speak different, in a different voice, say something different? Says the Gemara, Toshma, come in here. Listen up. Shlishi. Says the third, right? Says the third. Okay. So the Gemara says, it says the Yom HaShlishi. Yom HaShlishi, third day. So the Braisa is, this Shlishi was Shlishi Bachodesh, was the third day of the month of Sivan, the third day of the month which the Torah was given. It was also Shlishi B'Shabbat, it was also the third day of the week. In other words, when we have Bayom HaShlishi, which is not clarified as third of what, just third, you should know that third doesn't just mean third. It's the third day of the week, Tuesday, as we call it in the vernacular, and the third day of the month. Now, if you want Tuesday to be the third day of the month, which day did Rosh Chodesh, which is Aleph, the first day, what day did it have to be? This is not a trick question. Sunday, obviously. Just as Tuesday is the third day of the month, if you're planning to have the third day of the month and the third day of the week, Rosh Chodesh obviously would have to have been when? Sunday. Whose opinion does that follow? Rabbi Yossi or the Chachamim? Rabbi Yossi. The Chachamim, the rabbis, the sages said Rosh Chodesh on that particular year was on Monday. So if it was on Monday, Tuesday could be the third day of the week, but it cannot be the third day of the month. Because if Rosh Chodesh, the first day of the month, the beginning of the month is Monday, that's called Aleph Sivan, is Monday, then what would Tuesday be? Bet B'Sivan, the second day of Sivan. Now this is a problem, because we have the rabbis from a later period who seem to be contradicting a teaching of Mishnah level, of Mishnah origin, a Braisa. So the Gemara asks, Kasha l'Rabbanan. This doesn't make any sense. How could it be that big Kasha? How could the Rabbanan say that the Torah was given to us on the sixth day of Sivan? And that Rosh Chodesh was on the Monday? We have a Braisa that says the third day of the month was the third day of the week. It's a very simple question. So the Gemara responds to this question also, actually in a very simple way. The Gemara says, Amri l'ch Rabbanan, if you have the opportunity to speak to the sages, they would like say, what are you asking? What kind of question is it? Hamani, who do you think said this Braisa? Whose Braisa do you think this is? This is Rabbi Yosi. This is Rabbi Yosi. In other words, when the Gemara is being recorded, neither the Chachamim nor Rabbi Yosi are walking the face of the earth. They have no longer lived in the terrestrial reality for centuries. We are discussing the opinion of the great Mishnah sage Rabbi Yosi and his counterparts, his peers. So we have to now assume the voice of Rabbi Yossi and assume the voice of the sages. What would Rabbi Yossi have said? What would the sages have said? Because we're trying to now do some sleuthing. We're trying to do a little bit of forensic accounting and figuring out what were they thinking? What did they mean when they said certain things? So the Gemara says, you know, you're really interesting. You come along and you ask a question from a braisa, that the braisa contradicts the opinion of the Chachamim. Of course, the Chacham will tell you, that's not our braisa, that braisa was authored by Rabbi Yossi and his peers. That's his school of thought. Rabbi Yossi said, the third day of the month was also the third day of the week. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, we know. He also said the seventh day of Sivan was the seventh day of the week was Shabbos. He believes the Torah was given now on Shabbat, the seventh day of Sivan, because Rosh Chodesh came in the first day of the week. We don't believe that. That's our dispute. So why don't you ask me a question? You say, how could it be that the Chachamim, that the sages would square with this Braisa? How could they square with this Braisa? The Braisa says Tuesday was the third day, and the Chachamim said Rosh Chodesh was Monday. So what did the Chachamim tell you? So we actually don't square with that Braisa. That's exactly our point. We don't agree that Tuesday of that year, when they left Mitzrayim, was on the third day of Sivan. We believe that Tuesday was the second day of Sivan, because Rosh Chodesh was Monday. Pretty straightforward. So in both cases now, we had two quick volleys. A question that seemed to be very strong, very profound question, an immediate deflection, and saying, that's the point. And the Gemara records this for us, so now we can understand how serious we are about this. That when we said that Moshe Rabbeinu added a day, yeah, we were serious. We meant business. God said the third day, and Moshe said, nah, the fourth day. You meant business. And when the Chachamim say they disagree with Rabbi Yossi, this is not a little deal. It's a big deal. It's a big disagreement. It's a disagreement that goes back into the very Braisot themselves. Two schools of thought, two different narratives. Not very different, but albeit slightly different when it comes to dating, at least. Comes to dating, comes to the date. Slight difference. Sixth day or the seventh day. That's what the Gemara says. So far, so good. We didn't get into trouble yet. Now we're getting into trouble. Now, fasten your seatbelt, because this was child's play. This was easy stuff. Now the Gemara, we're going to get into one of those really naughty Gemaras now. The Gemara now says, you just brought me a Braisa, and the Braisa started off with the word, Shlishi, the third. Shlishi. Shlishi means the third. Frag the Gemara Shlishi Lamai. The third of what? The third of what? You started off with a third. You said the third was on the third day of the month and the third day of the week. Okay? We started with a third. The third was on. Who's on third? What does this mean, the third? I understand that they coincide. Yes, correct. They coincide that the third, whichever this nebulous third is, the third ended up being, amazingly, it was triple threes. The third was on the third day of the week, and the third was on the third day of the month. Wow. I think we called that a hat trick in Canada. Lots of threes. What's the first three? I know your second three was the day of the week. That's Tuesday, Yom Shlishi. I get that. Your third three was the day of Sivan, Gimel Sivan. Third day, Shlishi B'Sivan. I get that. What was the first three? The Gemara comes along and says, wow, we have amazing corollary here. We have fantastic chemistry. The third is the third is the third. Oh, okay. Very good. This is the question. Is it the third day of when he announced it? Is it the third day of, I don't know, third of what? That's the question. The Gemara wants to understand this now. It says Shlishi. Shlishi, very nice. Third. You're talking in threes. The Gemara says Shlishi Lamai. Third of what? I don't have clarity. I don't know what third this is. It's the third. Third of what? Tell me what it's talking about over here, please. So the Gemara answers, if you want to understand this Braisa, you want to understand this Braisa? Let me tell you another Braisa. It's like you come to this person and say, tell me the story. Oh, you want to hear a story? Let me tell you a story. So the Gemara now is going to introduce us. In order to understand one Braisa, I have to go back to understand another Braisa. Okay, there's different Braisas over here. Remember what a Braisa is? It's the codicil to the Mishnah. It's authentic, it's real, it's correct, it's proper. It's just not inducted by Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi for whatever reason, which we're not going to talk about right now. Was not inducted into the formal body of the Mishnah canon. So the Gemara says, Shlishi Lamai, third of what? And the Gemara answers, L'chidetanya. I'll tell you, this is in accordance with what we learned in a different Braisa. And now the Gemara begins a quote of a Braisa. The Braisa first quotes a verse. The verse is found a little bit earlier than the verse we just talked about. Chapter 9. You can turn your Chumash back to verse 8. The verse says, and I'm going to read you the beginning of the verse and tell you, then I'll pick up where the Gemara begins. The verse says that the people answered, responded to Moses in unison. Vayanu cholhom yachtov. This is not on your Gemara. Vayoyimer kol ha-shadibar Hashem nasa. The Jewish people said, whatever God wants from us, we will do. We will do. We will obey. That's what the first half of the pasuk says. The pasuk then goes on to say, "Vayoshev Moshe es divrei ha'om el Hashem." Moshe brought the words of the people back to God. Brought it back to God. There's a famous mechilta about this. The mechilta, which is the medrash that accompanies the books of Bereshit and Shemot, says we learn from Moshe derech eretz. You know what derech eretz is? Respectful decorum. Respectful decorum. What's derech eretz? Moshe could say God knows everything anyway, doesn't he? So what is this, a game? He sends me on missions, go and tell the people this, and I have to come back and say the people said that? God doesn't know. So the Mechilta says, yeah. Limda ha-Teira derech eretz. Moshe Rabbeinu, through the Torah, teaches us respectful decorum. God sent you on a mission, come back and bring the answer. Hashem said, go to the people and ask them, and Moshe did, and then he had an answer. He went back to Hashem, Vayoshev Moshe is Divrei Ha'am. He brought the words of the nation back to God. It's just respectful decorum. God asked you for something, respond. I met a guy once, I wanted to put a tefillin with him. He says, you think God needs my tefillin? That's ridiculous, he says. I'm a scientist, he told me. And he starts telling me about the stratosphere. He starts telling me about quantum physics. He starts telling me about the universe and the multiverses and octillions of details. He says, how stupid could you be? How foolish do you think God is? How kind of ridiculous thing I should rap by this way, rap that way. This is ridiculous. It's a narishkeit, he says. It's a dumb. You're not a dumb person, he says. Why do you act in such a dumb way? And he's giving me over the head like this. Okay. They said to him a simple thing. I said, you know what? Mister, you have no derech eretz. You have no respect. You have no respect. Ask your question. You don't want to say no. What are you attacking me for? God says he wants you to put on film. I cannot answer your questions. They're excellent questions. God is greater than the greatest of the great. And you're right. Logically speaking, it makes no sense that God should be happy or sad if I put on film or somebody lights Shabbat candles. I agree. But that's what we think. And that's how our perspective is. That's not God's perspective. I said, Zaya Mensch. A Mensch is the derech eretz. God said, please do something. Say yes, sir. The greatest of the great asked you to please do a mitzvah. Say yes. We could discuss theology later, I said. Just have derech eretz. He didn't like it. He wasn't impressed. He was not respectful, let's say. But that's the emes. That's the emes. A person could come with all kinds of questions about God. They say, God, I don't think this makes any sense. And maybe you're right. Maybe to us it does not make any sense whatsoever. Limda ha-Teira derech eretz. Derech eretz says you're asked to do something, so just do what you're asked to do. That's just respectful. When I ask my children to do something, I'm not expecting a song and dance as to why I should or shouldn't want this, or why it's a bad idea. I tell my children, this is not a democracy. I don't care if you disagree. As long as you live in my house, this is the way it's going to be. This is what I expect. It's getting harder. You know, they get older, it gets harder. But that's derech eretz. Derech eretz means, I may disagree, but you know what? I'm going to have respect. And Moshe Rabbeinu taught us that. Don't second guess God. God sent you. He said, ask the people. Okay, if God asked you to ask them, why did he ask you to ask them? He doesn't know what they're saying before you ask them. Doesn't God know everything? Yeah, but he asked you to ask them. So Moshe Rabbeinu understood it. But God asked him to pose a question, that once he gets an answer, he should bring the answer home. So you come back to God, and he did. And that's where the Gemara picks itself up. From that, the second half of verse 8. Vayoshev Moshe Es Divrei Ha'am. Moshe returned with the words of the nation El Hashem. He came back to God with these words. You got that? Okay? God sent Moshe with a question. He asked the question. He got an answer. He came back to God. So far we're good? Okay. V'chsiv. And it is written. Now we are going into verse 9. Verse 9 says, I'll read you first verbatim the beginning of the verse, and then I'll pick it up from the lexicon of the Gemara, the text of the Gemara. He says, "Vayemer Hashem al Moshe." God said to Moshe, "I am going to come to you, ba'av ha'onon, in the thick, acrid smoke, Ba'avrishma ha'om bedabri imach. Right in the heart of that thick smoke, I'm going to come to you, and that the nation will hear as I speak to you. V'gam b'cho ya'minu le'olam. And in so, in them seeing and hearing so, they will believe in you forever. Because when Moses tells them, God told me, they can always question. Maybe he did tell him. Maybe he didn't tell him. Maybe he was smoking weed and he had a hallucination. Maybe he hears voices. I don't know. But when they heard God speak to Moses, then they knew it was so, because they heard God speak. But by the way, hearing God speak to Moses is not the same as God speaking to you. When God addresses you, it's very different. Overhearing a conversation and actually receiving the transmission directly is a world of difference, as you're going to see. So what happened? What happened? Vayaged Moshe es divrei ha'am. God says to Moses, I'm going to do such and such. Vayaged Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu told, he talked back to God. And he told him the words of the nation. That's where the Gemara picks it up. Vayaged Moshe es divrei ha'am. Moshe Rabbeinu came and talked back to God. He said, okay, this is what the people said. This was their retort. Okay, so I can't be responsible for the art school translation, which is sometimes imperfect, but does not say the word instructed here. It says Vayomer Hashem Moshe. It says Vayomer. It says he said. Verse 9 does not use the word instructed at all. It said God said to Moses, "I'm going to come to you in the thick of the smoke, right? In the density of the smoke, and so that the nation will hear." And that they will believe in you forever. That's what God said. He does not instruct anything over here.
No, not you. I'm talking prior to that. When you said about the acceptance.
Yeah. That does say the word. The end of verse 7, which is not quoted in the Gemara, says, Hadvarim asher tzivo Hashem, the things that God instructed or commanded. That's okay. But let's not go all over the place. So you understand what our problem is? Did you realize the question yet? The question is that Moshe Rabbeinu came to the Jewish people and he said to them, God loves you, wants to take care of you, wants to give you a Torah, whatever. He said, okay, said all these things. Very nice. What did the people answer? Naseh. We're in. Sign me up. Beam me up, Scotty. I'm in. Naseh. Very nice. You're in. Very nice. What does it say after that? So Moshe Rabbeinu says, God, they said Naseh. They said we will do. They said we will obey, we will listen, we're not going to give you an argument. If you want, we will listen to what you say, whatever you say. And it says, God says to Moshe, I'm going to come to you in the heart of the smoke, in the densest part of the smoke, I'm going to speak to you. And they're going to believe in you. That's what the verse says. And then it says, Vayaged Moshe es divrei ha'am. Moshe Rabbeinu brings the words of God. What's the obvious question? Which words of the people? Which words did he bring them? In verse 8 it says, the people said, Naseh. They said, we will do, we will listen, we will obey. Mazel tov. That's great. So the verse finishes off, Moshe Rabbeinu brought these words back to God. Vayoshev Moshe es divrei amel Hashem. I get to reiterate this for clarity. The people said, Naseh. Yes, we will. Moshe Rabbeinu said to God, the people said, we will. We accept. God said to Moshe, I will speak to you. And he describes this dense and intense moment. And he says that the spillover effect of this profound and powerful divine communication to Moses in the public forum is going to engender faith in Moses. They will believe you. When you come and say, God spoke to me, they will not say, hey, God spoke to you. Didn't he speak to him? Didn't he speak to him? Maybe he's having chalomim, dreams. I don't know if he spoke to him. The people will say, no. We know what that means because we heard God speak to him. It's called mass revelation. We all heard it. When he says, God spoke to me, we know what that means now. We listened in. We eavesdropped. We were allowed to hear the conversation. So far, has there been a question posed to the people? Have they been asked anything? So what is the meaning of the end of the verse? Vayagad Moshe is divrei ha'am. What does it mean? Moshe talked back to God and he said, okay, let me give you the talk back. Here's what here's what they want me to tell you. He didn't ask any question. What does this mean? That's what the Gemara asks. The Gemara says, I don't understand. Vayagad Moshe is divrei ha'am al Hashem. Ma amaloi. What did he tell them? The people didn't say anything else. So far, all they got is one word. All they got, the whole speaking part, was one word. Not the joke. They said this little boy came home from school, and he told his mother that he got a part in the play. And the mother was so happy. And she said, what part did you get? And he said, I'm playing the husband. And the mother said, ah, I wanted you to get a speaking part. He got one word. So far. One word. What's the word? Nase. That's all. And Moshe already brought that to God. It says, Vayoshev is divrei ha'am al Hashem. He brought that to God. So if he already told God, the people said Nase, then what in heaven was he telling them in verse 9 when God comes and describes what's going to happen at the moment of revelation and the people will be able to listen in and hear as I speak to you? Oh, Vayagad Moshe's divrei ha'am. Moshe came and told Hashem the words of the people. Which words? What did they say? Which question did they get asked that they felt this need and they were compelled to respond? What happened there? You understand what the Gemara is asking? It's an extremely profound question. And it comes from the simplicity of just analyzing these verses. So let me stop and read the verses. By the way, the Rishonim have long discussions about this. Right? So the commentaries, the Pashtoni HaMikra, Ibn Ezra, Ramban, they all discuss this. What exactly did it? Rashi talks about this. Everybody discusses this. But now we're at the source. We're at the trough, we're at the origin. This is the Gemara itself, right? So the Gemara says, Ma, what happened over here? What happened? I don't understand. Ma Amar LaHakadosh Baruch Hu LaMoshe. What exactly did God tell Moshe? Uma Amar LaMoshe LiYisrael. What did Moshe tell the Jewish people? So what did God obviously said something to him? God said something. Moshe Rabbeinu went and conveyed what God said to Yisrael, and then Yisrael said back to Moshe, "Ma amru Yisrael Moshe." Like, what's the give and take here? God obviously posed the question. Moshe Rabbeinu passed the question on, and now he brought the answer back. What was that? So the Gemara answers. I'll tell you what it was. It was mitzvahs hagbolah. It was the mitzvah of separation. That the people found out that they are not going to be able to rush the mountain. That they are going to have to remain in their places. That they're going to have to keep a respectful distance. That it's not so simple. That not everybody is going to be able to come and do as he or she pleases. That's not what's going to happen over here. This mitzvah is Hagbolah. And the mitzvah of Hagbolah is the mitzvah of Ba'avon, and where's this hinted at? So the Chidushim, which are Miyuchas to the Ran, says very simple. When God told Moshe, I will come to you in the heart of the smoke, in the acrid, thick smoke, right in the heart of that smoke, he was indicating that there will be different areas of scrimmage. There's the heart of the smoke, the heart of the fire, Moshe would be right there, and then there's the outer layers of the smoke. The heart of the conflagration is not like the outer layers of the conflagration. You can die of smoke inhalation anywhere, but the thick smoke right in the heart of what's going on is much more intense. So they understood from this, aha, and this is what is written later. Moshe would be in his own area. Aaron, the high priest, would be in a separate area. The elders would be in a third area. And finally, the people would be on the foot of the mountain. Everybody would keep a certain distance. And the closeness and proximity mirrored the level of their spiritual initiation and sensitivity and ability to download the intensity of the moment. So that's the mitzvah of Hagbalah. What's the point now? What was your question? Your question was, what happened on the third day? Third day of what? What's the answer? It's the third day of preparation. It's the third day after which Moshe Rabbeinu came down to the people and he said, okay, there's going to be different lines of scrimmage. Not everybody's going to be in the same place. Now, of course, the question that we could ask, if you're all very smart, and you remember that a few classes ago we learned that on the first day they came, le'omar v'le'midi. There was no conversation, there was no discussion, there was nothing that happened on the first day. So if nothing happened on the first day, how could this be on the third day? How could it be on the third day? So the Ritva answers this question in a very, very beautiful way. The Ritva says that it's true that Mishom Chulsha de Urcha, because they were tired out from the journey, which the Rebbe explained, I shared with you a few classes ago, means that the intensity of the inner transformation that they were experienced brought them to a point of total nullity. So they were not ready to receive any new messages from God. They were, so to speak, at the tipping point where the seed fully rots, and then from there comes, once it spoils, all of a sudden new growth ensues. True. He says God didn't say anything to them. But that doesn't mean Moshe Rabbeinu didn't start a discussion. Moshe Rabbeinu started to talk to the people that something very special is going to happen here. Le'amar v'le'midi, says the Ritva, means there was no formal message. There was no official communication when Moses came as a messenger from God. But there was some kind of give and take. And that's the third day. That's the third day. Now, really, this does not pose a question to us, because ultimately, we're going to say that the third day of Sivan, being on Tuesday, is have to follow whose opinion? Rabbi Yossi's opinion. That's a given. Because according to the Chachamim, Rosh Chodesh was on Monday. If Rosh Chodesh is on Monday, Tuesday cannot be the third day. But the question that we had is just trying to understand the verses, what happened over here? So we're told that this is the mitzvah of Hagbalah, as the Marsha explains at length, from the words that Moshe Rabbeinu used, the people understood that there was going to be a concept of Hagbalah. And that was the third day after coming to Mount Sinai, the third day that this conversation was ongoing, the third day that this discussion was underway, and the third day they got the mitzvah Hagbalah. That is one opinion. That's one approach to this Braisa. The Gemara now continues and shares with us, this is Divrei Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda. These are the words of Rabbi Yossi, the son of Yehuda. Rabbi Omer, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi says, not so. Betchila, he says, I will explain the conversation to you. I will explain the give and take. Betchila, in the beginning, initially, just when they came to Mount Sinai, Pirush Oinsha, Moshe Rabbeinu explained and clarified, delineated, and publicized the punishments of the Torah. Here's what happens if you don't live up to God's expectations, he said. And he talked to them about all kinds of terrible realities that are engendered by a lack of observance and a lack of loyalty and a lack of obedience. He gave them the story about the Oinish. How do we know this? Dichsiv, for it is written, and we just read this pasuk before, it's verse 8 of chapter 19. It says, the verse says, Vayoshev Moshe. What does Vayoshev Moshe mean? What does it mean, Vayoshev? Vayoshev literally comes from the word tshuva, shiva, lashuv. Moshe returned. He returned with an answer. That's the literal meaning of the word Vayoshev Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu returned. However, the Gemara now gives us a drash, a homily, on the words of Vayoshev. Vayoshev Moshe, says the Gemara, Dvarim shemishavvin daite shel adam. Things which crush a person, things which make a person a little less confident that he has life figured out, that he knows exactly what the future is about to bring, that he has clarity about the will of Hashem, that he feels a full confidence about the responsibility that's placed upon him. This is the meaning of Mishavavin. Mishavavin, says Ibsad Yigoyen, comes from the word Shavira. It breaks a person. Sometimes an individual is high and mighty, and he gets spoken to a few harsh words, and the harsh words break him. And the harsh words, they take away his confidence. He's not so secure. All of a sudden, he's ready to listen. Sometimes we have to do that. There's a famous little story to tell. If you heard it, laugh anyway. That once a man went to buy a mule, and he went to that. I didn't say the joke yet. He went to the mule dealer, and the mule was talking very softly. The owner was talking very softly to the mule. And the man said, I'd like to buy a mule. The owner said, this is a fantastic mule. But there's one thing, you have to speak to him very softly. He'll do whatever you want. You speak very softly. The man says, that's okay, I'm soft-spoken, I'll take him. And he pays top dollar and he goes home with the mule. And the mule goes to sleep at night and he's fantastic and everything is great. In the morning he wakes up and he's looking forward to a full day of hard work. And he talks, hello, muley-booley, sweetie-peetie, maybe you get up, do some work. The mule gives him a steltemana paregen, looks at him like he's absolutely crazy. He does not respond to anything. And he uses every nice word and every soft-spoken kind of nothing. Goes back to the owner, he says, you sold me a dud, you're a liar, you're a cheater. I bought a mule, I expected to have an animal to do work for me. I spoke softly like you said. The owner says, really? Come with me. Takes a 2x4, heads back over to the farm, sees the mule on the floor, cracks him over the head with a 2x4. The mule suddenly stands up. He says, I thought you have to speak softly. He says, you do, but first you need to get his attention. So sometimes first you need to get his attention. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi said, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Vayoshev Moshe. Moshe returned. He returned to Hashem. Like the Mechilta says, Derech Eretz, God said, get me an answer. He came back with an answer. But these words of the Vayoshev, the Torah can be understood on many different levels. The word Vayoshev does not only mean he returned. The word Vayoshev means Dvarim Shemishavim Indaiti Shaladam. He first got their attention. How did he get their attention? He gave them some tough talk. He said, hey, you listen here, Yidalach. You think this is a game? It's a joke? You think it's an elective? You'll play games and do whatever you want and Hashem will give you rewards? Oh, no, no. Once you enter into this covenant, there's heavy duty stuff. There's punishments that come along. If you don't listen to Hashem, you get yourself into very hot water and big trouble. That was the beginning of the conversation. Now, what would you do? You hear this guy, he comes and yells and screams at you, cracks you over the head with a 2x4. He says, I'm out of here. Forget it. My dear friends, this is where the men and the boys separate. This is where we see if you're serious or if you're into the real for the long haul. Moshe Rabbeinu spoke these words to them. He was trying. He wanted to see. And they responded. What did they say? Nase. Oh, Nase. Comes the next pasuk, Vayaged Moshe. What is Vayaged, says the Gemara? The Gemara says Vayaged means L'basayf pirish matan schara. At the end, Moshe Rabbeinu spoke in glowing terms. He spoke about the beauty, the magnificence, the exquisite, beautiful pageantry of Yiddishkeit, of mitzvahs, the great reward that awaits us. And that's the meaning of Vayaged, similar to the word Agadah or Haggadah, like a story, like a medrash, like nice and wonderful words, Dvarim Shemeshchin Libishal Adam, things that pull a person in, things that attract him, things that have his attention. Tell him a nice story, get his attention. You speak to him harsh words, his ears turn off, he does not hear a word you said. He doesn't want to be yelled at. You want to yell at him? First you have to speak nice, soft words. Then he listens. So at the beginning, Moshe gave them very harsh words. He woke him up. And then later he spoke soft words and he drew them in with these soft words. Words of Agada. Words of the beautiful nature of Yiddishkeit. This, says the Gemara, that is the first version of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi's teaching. The Ikoda Amri, and there are others who have a different version. The other version is Betchila Pirish Matan Schora. The first thing Moshe Rabbeinu came and did was, he spoke about the glory, the pageantry, the beauty, the exquisite reality of Torah and the wonderful rewards that await a person from living a mission-driven life, a life that's filled with meaning and purpose. And that's the meaning of Vayoshev. What's the drash? How do we extrapolate or expound on the word Vayoshev? Not Meshavavim, but Dvarim Shemeshivin. A person feels faint sometimes, they're feeling down and low. You come along and you speak words of comfort, words of friendship, words of sympathy, words of care and concern. And a person all of a sudden feels of coming back to life because you spoke these soft and touching words. So the first thing Moshe Rabbeinu spoke was Dvarim Shemeshivin Daita Shaladam. Ulbasoif. And at the end, Pirush Oinsha. At the end comes along, Moshe Rabbeinu says, listen, my dearies, it's not a bowl of cherries. This Yiddishkeit thing also has a flip side. It's wonderful. If you live a life of Yiddishkeit and connectivity to the Bayre Elam, to the creator of the universe, But you know, if you cross him, once you go into this covenant, it doesn't go well. When Jewish people ignore Hashem, he's not pleased. He lashes out, and he will do everything to bring you back home. And it won't always be comfortable or convenient. He spoke to them harsh words. And that's meaning this is alluded to in the words, Vayaged, Vayaged Moshe, says the Gemara, Vayaged is Dvarim Shekoshim La'odom Kigidim, things which are hard, like ringworm, like a bitter and horrible tasting root. There are certain roots and herbs that have very bad taste. The truth is, the Gemara has discussions about this. We're not sure what the Gemara, I say ringworm loosely, we're not sure what the Gemara is talking about. Huh? Wormwood, they say. But they're not sure if that's actually what it means, if it was wormwood. We know that it's just like a person recoils from a very bitter taste. You taste that, you jump back. That's Tvarim Koshim Kigidim, words that made them suddenly recoil. And these are the two different approaches. And you know, it's really interesting. The first approach, where you speak harsh words, the first version, and only later the soft words, it parallels beautifully what happens when a person wants to convert to Judaism. When a person wants to join the Jewish people, what's the first thing we're supposed to do? We say, what do you want to be Jewish for? Don't you know everybody hates us? Don't you know 60 years ago they put us in ovens? Don't you know that there's countries that plan to do the same? We don't know what the future's going to bring. You want to join us? Don't you know that Jews weren't allowed to work in hospitals, even if they were the top of their class? Don't you know that Jews weren't hired by accounting firms? Don't you know that Jews were excluded? Don't you know that Jews probably will end up excluded again soon? Come on. What do you want this for? You could live an easy life. No worries, no concerns, no problems. Why would you want a target on your back? And if they're an insincere convert, they will leave at that moment. They say, oh, I didn't realize that. But if they're sincere, and if they're in for the real deal, they say, yeah, but I still want this. I still want this. I want this because I feel this is my destiny. I feel this is where I find myself whole. I feel this is where I'm able to achieve my mission and purpose in this world. Oh, yes, Igor, after we push you away, you still come back. Oh, come, let me tell you how beautiful it is to be a Yid. Let me tell you how Hashem loves the Jewish people more so than any other human beings on the face of earth. Let me tell you how Hashem cherishes his nation. Let me tell you about the beauty and the wonderment of mitzvahs and the reward of Gan Eden and when Mashiach will come. And that's when we speak all these nice words. And this, my dear friends, is what the Maharsha tells us. The Maharsha says that we see in the words of Moshe the same words which we use, the same approach which we use for conversion today. Because when the Jewish people received the Torah, they were like Gerim. They were like converts. They were like converts. Why were they like converts? They went to the mikveh. They became new people. Hashem selected and chose them. The Jew as we know him today, Asher Bachar Banu, says Avud Raham, is from Matan Torah. That's where we make a bracha. We get an aliyah. We say Asher Bachar Banu Bikol Am. When did he choose and select us? When did he make us his people? When did he fashion this new reality of a Jew, which is not only a holy soul, but a holy body also? This is Matan Torah. So we were like converts. And that's why we have the same idea. The Maharal of Prague says that in these two different approaches, we can discern two distinctly different perspectives on Yiddishkeit and life. And the question is, should you always end on a good note? And if you want to be Mesayim Betov, if you want to finish on a good note, then you have to begin on the not-so-good note. It's always going to be things people don't want to hear. So should you start, if you want to end the conversation on a good note, then tell them the things they don't want to hear. The good news or the bad news? What do you want to hear first? We'll say, the good news or the bad news? So if you want to end on a good note, let me tell you the bad news first. Now it's out of the way, let's end on a good note. And that's the first approach. The first approach is Mesayim in Betoiv. We always end on a good note. And that way, what's left with the people is the good feeling. Or, there's another thought. Perhaps it's better that we should end with not the good note, but end with a harsh note. Why? Because then they take it seriously. Then they know you mean business. And that's what remains with them, is the feeling of seriousness. This guy means business. I better pony up. I better follow through. I better do exactly what's expected of me, because they're serious. This is not fun and games. This is the real deal. Kosher kigidin. At any rate, these are two different approaches. They're two different. Glasses half full, glasses half empty. Two different approaches. What's better to start with? What's better to end with? The Gemara validates both. The Maharal says we have these two approaches, and because we have these two schools of thought about Yiddishkeit and about life itself, that's why there ended up being two schools of thought of what exactly the drasha of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi was. And with this, my dear friends, we are going to conclude for this week. And Bezrat Hashem, we will continue in the next class, pick it up from the very bottom of Daf Pezayin. We will turn the page and move on to the next piece of Gemara, which is going to discuss more of the same. The dates. We have questions and answers. We're going to have a give and take on which day exactly was the Torah given. We're going to continue to discuss the opinions of Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim.